Mata Madhava Kunjati Hare. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Ranga. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Verse 38, the Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Shita Vishikahata Vishinadamsha. Shatta japari pluta atta tayena me. Shatta japari pluta atta tayena me. Kasabam abhisasaramat vatartam. Sabhavatu me bhagavan gatir makunda. Chant. Shita, Shark, Ishika, Eros, Kata, wounded by, Vishinodam Shaha, scattered shield, Shataja, by wounds, Bhadiplutaha, smeared with blood, Atatayinaha, the great aggressor, may, my, Prasavam, in an angry mood. Abhisasara, began to move on. Matvada Atam, for the purpose of killing me. Saha, he, Bhavatu, may become. May, my, Bhagavan, personality of Godhead. Gatihi, destination. Agandaha, who awards salvation. May he, Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who awards salvation, be my ultimate destination. On the battlefield, he charged me, as if angry, because of the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows. His shield was scattered, and his body was smeared with blood due to the wounds. Purport. The dealings of Lord Krishna and Bhishma Dev on battlefield of Kurukshetra are interesting because the activities of Lord Shri Krishna appear to be partial to Arjuna and at enmity with Bhishma Dev. But factually, all this was especially meant to show special favor to Bhishma Dev, a great devotee of the Lord. The astounding feature of such dealings is that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy. So that's in italics. So it's emphasized here. The Lord, being absolute, can accept service from his pure devotee, even in the garb of an enemy. The Supreme Lord cannot have any enemy, nor can a so-called enemy harm him, because he is ajita, or unconquerable. But still, he takes pleasure when his pure devotee beats him like an enemy, or rebukes him from a superior position, although no one can be superior to the Lord. These are some of the transcendental reciprocatory dealings of the devotee with the Lord. and those who have no information of pure devotional service cannot penetrate into the mystery of such dealings. Bhishmadev played the part of a valiant warrior, and he purposely pierced the body of the Lord so that to the common eyes it appeared that the Lord was wounded, but factually all this was to bewilder the non-devotees. The all-spiritual body cannot be wounded, and a devotee cannot become the enemy of the Lord. Had it been so, Bhishmadev would not have desired to have the very same Lord as the ultimate destination of his life. Had Bhishmadev been an enemy of the Lord, Lord Krishna could have annihilated him without even moving. There is no need to come before Bhishmadev with blood and wounds, but he did so because the warrior devotee wanted to see the transcendental beauty of the Lord decorated with wounds created by a pure devotee. This is the way of exchanging transcendental rasa, our relations between the Lord and the servitor. By such dealings, both the Lord and the devotee become glorified in their respective positions. Lord was so angry that Arjuna checked him when he was moving towards Bhishmadev, but in spite of Arjuna's checking, he proceeded towards Bhishmadev as a lover goes to a lover without caring for hindrances. Apparently, his determination was to kill Bhishmadev, but factually it was to please him as a great devotee of the Lord. The Lord is undoubtedly the deliverer of all conditioned souls. The impersonalists desire salvation from him, and he always awards them according to their aspiration. But here, Bhishmadev aspires to see the Lord in his personal feature. All pure devotees aspire for this. Mukam karoti vachalam bangam langhete girim yakipantam hambande sikaram tinatarnam omagyanati virantasya gyananjala shakaya chakshaviritam yena tasma shikarve namaha. So, very interesting, as Prabhupada says at the beginning of the purport, how you can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy who wants to see Krishna bleeding because we shot him. That is, we don't meditate like that. We don't like to see Krishna bleeding. But that's Bhishmadev's rasa. It's one of the 12 rasas, chivalrous rasa. And so it's there. It's there. And yeah, the whole purport was how Krishna was happy to be bleeding and Bhishma was happy to shoot him. And that was the rasa. quite interesting rasa. But Krishna likes it, and some devotees also like it like that. So you know, what can we cannot, you know, if this was on Facebook, somebody shooting Krishna, you know, we would have so many comments, you know, what are you guys doing? But no, it's not like that. So why is it? Prabhupada gives an explanation that this creates variety. Variety means enjoyment. So Krishna wants a variety of different relationships. And this is one of them. This is one of the relationships that Krishna wants to enjoy. So Prabhupada asks the question in his lecture, teaching Queen Kunti, or that book anyway, that why has God created so many colors, so many forms, to create enjoyment out of variety? That's why there's so many forms. And that's why there's so many colors and different things. So this is Krishna. And so we have the 12 rasas. Here it says he appears to be wounded. He wasn't really wounded. You can't wound a spiritual body. But Bhishma wanted to see that. And so he showed it to Bhishma. Yeah, see, you shot me. And so when Bhishma was piercing with arrows, Krishna was taking pleasure. He was happy. And the impersonalists, they would not appreciate this. They don't want, they think variety is the cause of suffering. So, but even Krishna, he wants variety. And that's why he was one, but he became many. He wants different kinds of relationships. He's not stereotyped that you can only serve me by, you know, giving me bhoga and dressing me. No, there's so many ways you can serve Krishna. Akila Rasamrita Sindhu, he's the ocean of rasas. So this is a rasa, Bhishma on purpose. He knows Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And but still, he's giving him pleasure by shooting him with arrows. Krishna takes pleasure in that. Not only, Prabhupada said in one lecture in Vrindavan, that not only when you throw rose petals at Krishna is he happy, when you shoot arrows, he's also happy. He likes both of the tastes, both the kinds of enjoyment. So I don't know if any of you take that kind of enjoyment, but this is Krishna. He includes everything, all kinds of enjoyment, all kinds of different rasas. Nectar of devotion. There's a quality of Krishna where he's called well-wisher of his devotees. So I'll read that for you from Nectar of Devotion, chapter 22. It is said of Krishna's devotees that if they offer even a little water or a tulsi leaf in devotion to Lord Vishnu is so kind, he will sell himself to them, and especially in Kartik. So then Bhishmadeva is given as the example, Krishna's favoritism toward his devotees. When grandfather Bhishma was lying at the point of death in the bed of arrows, Krishna was present before him, and Bhishma was remembering how Krishna had been kind to him on the battlefield. Krishna had promised in the battle of Kurukshetra he would not even touch a weapon to help either side. He would remain neutral. Although Krishna was Arjuna's charioteer, he had promised he would not help Arjuna by using any weapons. But one day, Bhishma, in order to nullify Krishna's promise, exhibited his fighting spirit so magnificently against Arjuna that Krishna was obliged to get down from his chariot. Taking up the broken chariot wheel, he ran toward grandfather Bhishma as a lion runs toward an elephant to kill it. Grandfather Bhishma remembered this scene, and he later praised Krishna for his glorious favoritism toward his devotee, Arjuna, even at the risk of breaking his own promise. So let's hear a little bit of the history. Why did Krishna say, when did Krishna say he would not take up any weapon? This was before the Battle of Kurukshetra. And the Pandavas and the Kauravas were preparing for war, and they were trying to get help from different armies all over the world. This was a world war. This was a worldwide war because Bharatvarsha used to be the whole planet Earth. That was Bharatvarsha, not just India. And so Duryodhana was sending messengers everywhere to get help from different kings. But when he heard Krishna was in Dwarka, he went to Dwarka personally to ask his assistance. So because he thought, you know, I'm not going to send my messenger, I better go myself. So because Krishna and the Yadus, they were the greatest warriors on the earth, so he went for Krishna's help. Then if Duryodhana thought, well, if I get Krishna's help, then the Pandavas won't have a chance because Krishna is their main support. So he took a few bodyguards and took the best of his horses and went to Dwarka. Meanwhile, Arjuna also thought of Krishna, and after consulting Yudhisthira, he also decided to go personally to ask for his friend's help. Leaving in a swift chariot, he arrived in Dwarka, and he saw the palace guards. When he arrived, he saw them receiving Duryodhana. And then they greeted each other in a friendly way, and they went together to Krishna's room. Krishna was asleep on a large bed, and one of his wives was fanning him. And Duryodhana went straight to the head of the bed. He thought, well, the head's the best place. And sat down. And Arjuna stood at his feet with folded hands, looking at his face with tears of affection in his eyes. So after a while, Krishna woke up, and as he opened his eyes, he saw Arjuna, who bowed to him in love. And then Krishna sat up, and then he saw Duryodhana by his head. So he immediately welcomed both visitors, and after honoring them, he asked, oh, why have you come? So Duryodhana said, well, it is well known you are equally disposed towards me and Arjuna. You're equal to both of us. So I've come here to help get your help in the war which will soon be fought among us. I arrived before Arjuna, so it's only right you help me first. You should know, just help me and don't help him. That's what he said. So this is the practice of good men, and you, Krishna, are the best of men. So this is Duryodhana speaking. And Krishna looks smilingly at Duryodhana. Yeah, except you arrived first, but I saw Arjuna first. And so I think I will help both of you. Scripture says one should help the youngest first. So I will first help Arjuna. I will give my assistance to Arjuna. I have an army of 1 million soldiers known as the Rayanas, all equal to me in battle. Let one of you take them, and let the other take me alone. But I will not fight. Indeed, I plan to leave my weapons aside during the entire battle. So Arjuna, what do you choose? Without hesitating, Arjuna chose Krishna. And Duryodhana could hardly conceal his joy. He was saying, ha ha ha, Arjuna's sentimentality overpowered his reason. He gave up the army in favor of Krishna, and who's not even going to fight. What a mistake. So Duryodhana was smiling. He said, I guess I'm left with the army. With your permission, okay, Shiva, I shall now depart. So Duryodhana was very happy. He thanked Krishna, and then he left. So when Krishna was fighting with Bhishma, one night after the battle, Duryodhana went to Bhishma and complained, you know, you're not fighting very strongly against the Pandavas, you're favoring them. So Bhishma said, okay, I will fight tomorrow. I will kill Arjuna tomorrow. Krishna promised not to fight. So Bhishma had, you know, he's saying, okay, unless Krishna fights and breaks his promise, then they will die. And he said, I have 5 arrows for these 5 brothers. And Duryodhana said, okay, give me the arrows, I'll keep them. He was a little bit worried what might happen with Bhishma. And Krishna, he's omniscient, he knew what was happening over in the other camp. And he said to Arjuna, Bhishma has 5 arrows. You go to Duryodhana. Prabhupada's telling the story. He said, this is politics. Even Krishna is doing politics. And so you go to Duryodhana. Remember, he gave you a promise. One time you saved him, and he said he'll promise you if you want something, he'll give you whenever you want. So Krishna said, now is the time. Go there. And so what should I ask? He's got 5 arrows. Go ask for those 5 arrows to kill you. And so Prabhupada said, you know, after fighting the whole day, in the night they were friends. They didn't fight at night, usually. So Arjuna went to Duryodhana's camp. He was well received. And Duryodhana said, oh, Arjuna, what do you want? Do you want anything from me? I can stop this fight. I can turn you the kingdom. Arjuna said, no, I've not come begging for my kingdom. Fighting will go on, but you promised something. And Duryodhana said, yeah, I know, I offer you. What do you want? Arjuna said, I want those 5 arrows. And Duryodhana gave, yes. Because the promise, as we heard yesterday's class, Madhumati promised, the vow was very important for these Kshatriyas, and Duryodhana had given that vow. So Bhishma found out, and Bhishma knew, Krishna is very cunning, he will save his devotee. He has done this. Okay, in spite of Krishna, he's broken my promise tomorrow. If Krishna doesn't break his promise, his friend will be killed. I will fight in such a way. So yeah, he was fighting. Arjuna was in danger. And chariot was broken. And Arjuna fell down. And Krishna took up the wheel of the chariot, raised it above his head, just like it was his Sudarshan Chakra, and ran toward Bhishma, just like a lion runs at an elephant. The prophet says this. I think this was in the last verse. Yeah, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. So that's a nectar devotion. The prophet also said that. And then we heard in this purport, the Lord, it says here, the Lord was so angry, Arjuna checked him, and he was moving towards Bhishmadeva. So how did Arjuna check him? Mahabharata tells us, Arjuna put down his bow, jumped from the chariot, and ran after Krishna. Krishna had covered almost half the distance to Bhishmadeva, and his upper garment fell off, and gazing, Krishna was looking at Bhishma with eyes red with anger, he shouted, "You are the root of this great slaughter. A wise minister who treads the path of virtue should restrain a wicked king by any means. If that is not possible, such a wretched monarch should be abandoned." So he's telling Bhishma, "You made a mistake staying with Duryodhana. You should not have stayed with him." So Arjuna reached Krishna, hurled himself forward, caught hold of Krishna's legs. And Arjuna was hanging on to Krishna's legs, and Krishna was continuing to run after Bhishma. So that's how Arjuna checked him. He was holding onto his legs. But that didn't matter. Krishna was still running with Arjuna holding on to get to Bhishma. And so that's quite a scene there. And so Krishna went in front of Bhishma, "You stop this fighting, otherwise I'll kill you." And Bhishma gave up his arrows. He said, "Okay, kill me." He's ready. He's ready. So he was happy, Bhishma was happy, because now Krishna has broken his promise, so I give up this fight. Krishna came to threaten him, he's broken his promise. I wanted to see Krishna breaks his promise. Prabhupada in his lecture in Mayapur said, this is affection, love between devotees. Just like in sports, you want to see your friend defeated, but that doesn't mean you're enemy. So that's, we can understand a little bit of the consciousness between Bhishma and Krishna. It's not like they're thinking they're enemies, even though they say they're going to kill each other. that doesn't mean they're enemies. It's the way of expressing love. I'm going to kill you. it's not very, it's very unusual way to express love. So Prabhupada says it's like sports. I'm going to beat you. You know, I'm going to be first. In sports, there's a fight, and one party wins, one party loses. But that doesn't mean they're enemies. Next moment, they shake hands, sit together, dine together. It is like that, Prabhupada said. So Bhishma conquered over Krishna. He won. He won. Bhishma won, actually. And instead of conquering over Arjuna, he conquered over Krishna. So we know also the same happened with Maharaj Yudhisthira. When Krishna was on his chariot, Kunti offered the prayers, and he was getting ready to leave for Dwaraka, and Yudhisthira came and he asked him, just stay a few more days. And he conquered over Krishna there. Krishna is Ajita, it says in the purport, he cannot be conquered, but his devotee can conquer him. And we're in the Damodara month. We're hearing about how Yashoda conquered Krishna. She caught him. She tied him up. But the prayer that we sing in the morning, Damodarastikam, it says she did not tie him with ropes. She tied him with bhakti. Bhakti badham. Sita graivam damodaram bhakti badham. So the translation of that is, to the Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, whose belly is bound by his mother's pure love, not by rope, I offer my humble obeisances. So it looks like, Bhishma kind of lost. He's on the bed of arrows. But actually he won. And not only he conquered Krishna in the battle by making him break his promise, he conquered him at the time of death because of his devotion, he brought Krishna so he could see him at the time of death. And his meditation was Krishna full of blood, not with the flute, playing the flute. Like we like to see Krishna. We like to see Krishna playing the flute. And Prabhupada advises us that we should think of Krishna like that. And that verse purport in the end of Gita, Sarvadharma Pritya, we should meditate on Krishna, could be the one before, 65, 66. We should think of the Lord Krishna with the flute, playing the flute. But Bhishma liked to meditate on the form of the broken chariot wheel. So Krishna never rushes to anyone. When he played his, everyone rushes to Krishna. When Krishna played his flute, the gopis left everything and ran to him. But in the battlefield, Krishna left everything and ran to Bhishma. So Bhishma won. Bhishma conquered Krishna. So all kinds of rasas are there. Krishna is a reservoir of rasas. And so Bhishma, it seemed like he was meditating on Krishna as his enemy. There is a verse in the 10th canto, 87th chapter, that says that even demons like Aga, Bhaka, and Keshi were liberated by Krishna without having performed any spiritual practices. This is an indication of his unique position as the original personality of Godhead. Knowing this, we should put aside all fear and doubt and give ourselves fully to the process of devotional service. And so, Srila Prabhupada tells a story, which is also we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Chaitanya was touring South India, there was one Brahmin who couldn't read, but he was trying to read Bhagavad Gita. Everyone was making fun of him. Lord Chaitanya saw him, and he asked him, "So, what are you reading?" And the Brahmin said, "Well, you know, I can't really read, but my guru told me I have to read every day Bhagavad Gita." So then Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, I know it. You're not reading, but you're crying. Why are you crying?" And so the Brahmin said, "Well, you know, whenever I pick up the book, I see the picture of Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot. And it's so amazing. And I simply cry." And so Prabhupada commented, because the meditation of Bhishma was on Krishna and Arjuna. And so Prabhupada, in talking about this story, said, one who is always thinking of Krishna is better than the most learned scholar. If you simply remember Krishna's teaching Arjuna, Arjuna is hearing. If you simply remember the picture, that is sufficient, even if you think you cannot read. So if you don't have time to read Bhagavad Gita, that's not good. But if you could try to remember, look at the picture in the front or something and see Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot, Krishna instructing Arjuna. As we heard in a previous class I gave, I quoted from the prayers of Shukadeva, "Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam." So he's offering respectful obeisances to Krishna, whose glorification, remembrance, audience, prayers, hearing, can cleanse the effects of all sins. So one of those things that Shukadeva mentioned was seeing, just seeing audience, seeing Krishna. Just seeing, and Prabhupada gave the example, come and see the deities, look at the books, seeing my books, seeing the books, and that will clean all your sins away. So we have to become Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada said you don't have to become a learned man to argue with another learned man. If it's possible, you can do that, but that doesn't make a difference. If I cannot argue with others, I cannot teach nicely Bhagavad Gita. If I just remember the picture, that is perfection. And so this is Prabhupada's mercy to us. And we did hear how Krishna was merciful to the opposite party in a few verses before, verse 35, because he glanced at the opposite, the soldiers on the opposite side. And he was merciful, Prabhupada says, because they would not have gained liberation by dying at home. Here is a chance to see the Lord at the time of death and get salvation. And the conclusion that Prabhupada came to was, Krishna is all good, and whatever he does is for everyone's good. So Uddhava also appreciated this mercy of Krishna to the soldiers on the opposite side. In the third canto, Uddhava was speaking to Vidura, and he said others who were fighters in the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by Arjuna's arrows, and while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. So very interesting comment that Prabhupada gives on that verse. Prabhupada says, love of God is awakened by the association of the pure devotees of the Lord. So how did those soldiers get purified? They got shot by Arjuna. That was their purification of the pure devotee. So that's what Prabhupada says here. Those who saw the beautiful face of the Lord on battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified first by Arjuna when he made his onslaught with arrows. All activities of a pure devotee are executed on behalf of the Lord, because a pure devotee of the Lord has nothing to do for his personal interest. Arjuna's killing is as good as killing by the Lord himself. As soon as Arjuna shot an arrow at an enemy, that enemy became purified of all material contamination
and became eligible to be transferred to the spiritual sky. Those warriors who appreciated the lotus feet of the Lord and saw his face at the front had their dormant love of God awakened and were transferred at once to Vaikuntha Loka. So it helped to get shot by Arjuna. Then they got pure, then they could get the vision. Then they get a little attraction for the lotus feet of the Lord. And then they could go to Vaikuntha. So Uddhava was lamenting because he felt, oh, I'm less than these warriors in the battlefield because they went to Vaikuntha and I'm still here lamenting Krishna's disappearance. So that was Uddhava's feeling. Now, why did Krishna come to see Bhishma here? Because he wanted to glorify Bhishma. Devotee glorifies Krishna, Krishna glorifies his devotee. So, in the Rajasuya sacrifice, all the princes were there, and Krishna was proposed to be the leader, the president of the assembly, although he was a very young boy. So Shishupala Dantavaka, they were objecting. Prabhupada called them a protest meeting. He called it a protest meeting of Shishupala and Dantavaka. And no, Krishna cannot be president. So then Bhishma made a comment during that Rajasuya sacrifice. He said, you know, Krishna, when he was 16 years old, he was surrounded by girls and he never had sex desire. I'm a brahmachari from my birth, and I think I could not be such a restrained personality as Krishna. So that is mentioned in Mahabharata. Prabhupada says that Bhishma, he recommended Krishna. No, he's complete. He's the purest. He's the purest. Purer than me, and I'm a brahmachari. And nobody would doubt Bhishma's purity. So Yudhisthira, again, another reason why did Krishna come. We heard in the 8th chapter of this canto that he was aggrieved. He was lamenting at the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was deluded by sneha moha, in the Sanskrit is, by worldly affection. So he was Adhira, the son of Dharmaraj, so everyone was astonished. How is he aggrieved for the death of his relatives? So Arjuna also had that problem, beginning of Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna instructed him. Krishna gave him, pacified him with his instructions in Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna tried to pacify Yudhisthira, but Yudhisthira couldn't be pacified. Why? Why couldn't, even Vasudeva couldn't pacify Yudhisthira? Why? Because Krishna wanted Bhishma to instruct Yudhisthira. He wanted to glorify Bhishma. And so then he could pass away peacefully, seeing Yudhisthira installed as emperor. He could be glorified as being able to do something that Lord Krishna could not do, and instruct King Yudhisthira. So Krishna wanted to show how his devotee is even greater than himself. And yes. So he's instructing, Prabhupada said, Bhishma Dev, Krishna is instructing Yudhisthira through the mouth of Bhishma Dev. So we have many examples of how Krishna wants to give more credit to his devotees. He gave credit to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Hanuman got the credit for jumping over to Lanka, whereas Lord Rama had to go on a bridge. Lord Chaitanya preached in India, and he left it for Prabhupada and to preach all over the world. As we hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya came, when Krishna came, he brought the treasure house of Prema, but it was sealed. Lord Chaitanya broke the seal, ate it, distributed the contents, but it was kept in India. The treasure was in India, and Prabhupada broke the seal and distributed it all over the world. So he's more glorified even than Lord Chaitanya, that he did that. So Krishna likes to glorify his devotees, and we can see that here in this pastime of Bhishma Dev on the bed of arrows instructing Yudhisthira. So I'll stop here if there's any comments or questions you can ask at this time. Yes.
Thank you for the wonderful class. I have two quick comment and a question. I think yesterday somebody was asking how
40 million.
40 million people died, you know. Remember, a lot of divine weapons were being used, and these weapons would kill 10,000 men one time, you know.
Yeah.
So because of those divine weapons,
that
speed up the process.
Yeah.
And then somebody asks about why the Brahmana son died during Lord Ramachandra time. And that was because a sutra was performing austerity.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was performing austerity, something inauspicious happened, really. And that's how the Brahmana son died.
That's
so right. Then Lord Rama's
son died because the Shudra was performing austerity.
Yeah, and Lord Rama just cut off his head, the sutra. So you were saying that when Arjuna's arrows were hitting the warriors, they returned back to Godhead.
Yeah.
But not, my question is, were all the warriors went back to Godhead or just some?
The answer is that not all went back to Godhead. But all were liberated. They were all liberated because they saw Krishna's face. There's another purport. I'm not sure if it's the one I quoted, which I remember. There is another purport. I can try looking it up in Vedabase if it's that particular one. Oh, and I didn't see which one it is. Okay, let's see which purport it is. Okay, this is in third canto, second chapter. There is a purport where Prabhupada says those who developed affection for Krishna went to Vaikuntha. They got their Swarup city. And those who did not went to the Raman. So those who got purified by Arjuna's arrows went back, and if they developed affection, but that purification could help them develop affection. Another thing I was thinking also is that Krishna's army was on the other side. So Krishna's army probably had affection for Krishna too. And so that's included there. Okay, now I'm looking it up, which verse it is in Canto 3:220. Okay, see if I can find out if it's in that purport. Yeah, there is a purport where Prabhupada talks about Swarup Siddhi. And those who developed affection for Krishna, they went back to God. They got Swarup Siddhi. So let me see. 3:220. Oops. Okay, I'm looking it up and see. It may be this purport, or it may be another one. There's another verse, I think, in First Canto. It's in this one. The words, okay. Let me look. Interesting. Let's see the purport. His annihilation of a person like Shishupala is as auspicious as his actions for protection of the faithful. All the warriors who fought against Arjuna, but who were able to see the lotus-like face of the Lord on the battlefront, achieve the abode of the Lord exactly as devotees of the Lord do. So here, in this purport, it says they all went back to Godhead. The words pleasing to the eyes of the seer are very significant. When the warriors from the other side of the battlefield saw Krishna at the front, they appreciated his beauty, and their dormant instinct of love of God was awakened. Shishupala saw the Lord also, but he saw him as his enemy, and his love was not awakened. Therefore, Shishupala achieved oneness with the Lord by merging in the personal glare of his body, called Brahmajyoti. Others who were in the marginal position by being neither friends nor enemies, but slightly in love of Godhead by appreciating the beauty of his face, were at once promoted to the spiritual planets, Vaikunthas. The Lord's personal abode is called Goloka Vrindavan, and the abodes where his plenary expansions reside are all called Vaikunthas, where the Lord is present as Narayan. Love of Godhead is dormant in every living entity. Entire process of devotional service unto the Lord is meant for awakening this dormant eternal love of Godhead. But there are degrees of such transcendental awakening. Those whose love of God is awakened to the fullest extent go back to Goloka, Vrindavan planet, whereas persons who have just awakened to love of Godhead by accident or association are transferred to Vaikuntha planets. And then it's the part I quoted before. This love of God is awakened by association of pure devotees, and Arjuna was shooting and they got purified. Okay. Okay, here we go, let's see. It's going more. Those warriors who appreciated the lotus feet of the Lord and saw his face at the front had their dormant love of God awakened. Thus, they were transferred at once to Vaikuntha Loka, not to the impersonal state of Ramajyoti, as was Shishupala. Shishupala died without appreciating the Lord, while others died with appreciation of the Lord. Both were transferred to the spiritual sky. Those who awakened to love of God were transferred to planets of the transcendental sky. Yeah?
But I taught Shishupala and Bhavaka.
I know.
Well, Bhavaka's giant vijaya.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. They didn't go straight.
Oh, I see. Maybe they spent some time in the Brahma Jyoti.
Yeah, they must have. More punishment. But then they came back as Jagai and Madhe, as far as I understand. Yeah, I can look up, I think there was another purport where Prabhupada did say there were two different categories on the battlefield. I'll try. Yes, another question while I'm looking it up.
It's a comment. I was appreciating what your imagery that you were giving about Krishna running and Arjun holding his feet.
Yes.
So it made me think of the other way here. Krishna is trying to attack Bhishma, but the other pastime where Ashwatthama is brought and Draupadi and Bhima is trying to kill Ashwatthama, and Draupadi is telling him not to, and there's a whole thing going on, and then Krishna at that stage, he gets his two extra arms and he tries to stop them from fighting, so to speak. So I was thinking, wow, there's so much personalism, there's so much action, there's so much feelings
going on there. Arjuna tried, Arjuna didn't want him to break his promise. He was trying to stop him. Well, he couldn't.
We have one online question from Mother Nanda.
Okay, Nanda.
Whenever I hear the story of the Brahmin who was told to read Bhagavad Gita but couldn't read, I always wondered why the Brahmin, in his determination to follow the order of the spiritual master, didn't learn to read. Do you think it was some social reason, like perhaps he was from a low caste so nobody would teach him?
Can you say it again? Can you repeat that?
Whenever I hear the story of the Brahmin who was told to read Bhagavad Gita but couldn't read, I always wonder why the Brahmin, in his determination to follow the order of the spiritual master, didn't learn to read. Do you think it was some social reason, like perhaps he was from a low caste so nobody would teach him? Now that I wrote that, I'm thinking that the whole instant is to show the potency of following the order of the spiritual master.
Yeah, she's correct, following the order. As far as you understand, he was a Brahmin, but he was not educated properly. He was not a low caste, but he didn't have facility for education. Or, I mean, that could be one reason. Another reason was he just didn't have he didn't have the brain for it. You know, he could have been born in a Brahmin family without the brain for Sanskrit or whatever. Just because you're born in a Brahmin family doesn't mean that you can automatically learn Sanskrit and all those things. Sanskrit's a difficult language. And there could be many reasons why he couldn't read. It could be something physical. From my understanding, he was a Brahmin. He's a Brahmin. And I think in Prabhupada telling the story, he said that he was a Brahmin. But it was to illustrate that, just to follow the orders of the spiritual master.
We have Jadbharat,
who was
a
Brahmin.
Huh?
I thought of Jadbharat, He was pretending. Yeah. Oh wait, there is another. What verse is this? There is another purport here in the 9th chapter of Bhishma Dev about the, let's see what verse it is. 39. Oh, tomorrow's verse. Interesting. Tomorrow's verse explains more about the question of about attaining their form. Okay, tomorrow's purport it is. All the soldiers and persons on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attain their original spiritual form like the Lord after their death, because by the causeless mercy of the Lord they are able to see him face to face on that occasion. So has everybody got their form? Very interesting. That's tomorrow's purport. Yeah. Very interesting. So tomorrow, yeah?
The Vaikuntha planet where the soldiers would have gone, is that like they would worship the Lord as Parthasarathi?
Parthasarathi, as far as I understand, it's not in Vaikuntha. It would be more like Dwarka. Okay. And there's Dwarka in the spiritual world. So then, in Dwarka is included the Hastinapur and the relationship with the Pandavas and all that would be Dwarka. Okay, yeah, Dwarka.
But in Vaikuntha, it's always the four-armed Vishnu forms?
Yeah,
so they would
four
see
arms, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, Tamaral's purport says all living beings who participate on battlefield Kurukshetra on both sides attain their sarup, as confirmed by Bhishma Dev. Yeah, that's tomorrow's. We'll find that out tomorrow. Okay. Jai. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.